If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're welcome back. Now, the arrival in Lister Invernahyle next Monday of a number of asylum seekers has generated considerable debate locally. Coincidentally, at the same time, my next guest is an Ennis native, an expert in migration, who's produced a first comprehensive history of migration in Ireland. Brian Fleming is a professor of migration and social policy based in UCD. Brian, good morning to you.
Brian Fanning.
Brian Fanning, excuse me, that's my misreading.
Get that right. Yep.
Apologies. Okay. That's completely on me. That's tiredness this morning. My apologies, Brian. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We have, how long is Ireland's history with regards to migration?
Well, I mean, back to the very start of human settlement in Ireland, migrants came to Ireland. I mean, people have always been coming to Ireland, even though perhaps we think of ourselves as a country from where people go. My own book focuses on people coming and going mostly from 1600 to the present day, which includes the plantations, yes, but also people who went out. Irish people went to Galicia, they went into Europe as soldiers, all manner of things. Irish clerics went abroad. Then Irish people went to Americas, they went to the United Kingdom, they went to Australia in their millions. So every part of Ireland has this huge history of emigration. So what I've tried to do basically in writing about immigration, people coming to Ireland, is also to look at that alongside emigration and ask really to myself, you know, how are these experiences similar? You know, how are the experiences of people coming here the same as or different from people who went away, Irish people settled abroad?
We think of ourselves as a country of immigrants, the Irish influence throughout the world and all of that. Are we any different, though, really, to other countries in that regard?
Maybe we're more inclined to get up and go than some others. I mean, if you take austerity recently, you know, large numbers of people went to Australia and so on, whilst maybe not so many people from other European countries where unemployment rates or even the austerity, you know, bite was perhaps even tougher, moved around. So Irish people have tended to move, certainly to improve their lives. And that's really mostly why people go anywhere.
Yeah. Absolutely, indeed. And that's why many people have come here also.
Mm-hmm.
We have a history in recent times of welcoming people in different forms or through different channels, I suppose. And of course, in maybe the last 15 years or thereabouts, we saw Ireland become a much more, shall I say, popular destination for immigrants coming into the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Ireland's become quite a diverse society now. And the last 20 years or so, we're seeing a level of people coming to Ireland that we wouldn't really have seen since the 17th century.
Okay, and is that, again, economic factors?
I mean, economic factors, I mean, it's really the fact that Ireland is a well-to-do place. There are great opportunities for people to come here. Ireland has made its way in the world by being an open country, being open basically to foreign investment coming in. It basically has emphasised economic growth as a major part of what we're about in Ireland, and that certainly has been part of Ireland's plan for itself. So people have come to Ireland as they come to other places to build better lives for themselves. And Irish society needs them. Our hospitals would not get by without doctors and nurses from other countries. Just as the Irish were the men who built America, so immigrants are helping build modern Ireland. You know, they're contributing in every way, you know, right across our society. And they're here mostly because we want them to be here. We need people. We need them. We need their skills.
Sure. And we know that talks of immigration in particular in all societies can often give rise to people critical of this and looking to look after their own and as they see it and looking after their heritage and their communities, etc. In that regard, has Ireland been any different to elsewhere?
A bit. In a good way. First of all, you know, if you look at what other European countries are up to in terms of their politics, there's no shortage of even fairly middle ground politicians being very critical of immigration at various times and saying very anti-immigrant things. No Irish politician of any stature has basically kind of used kind of immigrants as a kicking ball during austerity. And I think that's an amazing sort of credit to us in a sense. But at the same time, we have racism in Irish society. We have, you know, people who live in Irish society, some people experience racism, and we're very poor at identifying that. So at one level, our politics is not anti-immigrant. At another level, we're not doing enough, perhaps, to acknowledge the fact that some people are experiencing racism and difficulty in our society.
Okay. Your book chronicles, as you've already outlined, the history of this over recent centuries.
Yep.
Is there I don't want to be flippant, but is there a point in it, or is it to just simply write it down factually, or Is there an argument that you're making within it?
Is there an argument? There are many arguments I'm making. I mean, we're used to thinking of immigration as a tragedy. Emigration as a tragedy. And we have many poems, ballads and songs about this. But most people who migrate actually manage to make fairly good lives for themselves. And then if we think of migration as a tragedy for some Irish people, we've also got to recognise that for some people coming here, life can be very difficult indeed. Mm. There are people who can be exploited in this country very, very badly. There are people who make very difficult journeys. Irish people went abroad mostly to countries where they had rights immediately, spoke the language, English, immediately, you know, were citizens pretty much immediately, and have been welcomed in ways perhaps that many migrants in the 21st century are not welcomed. I know we were very open to migrants from the European Union, but we're less open to migrants from other places, and we're very closed when it comes to perhaps the most vulnerable people of all, refugees and asylum seekers.
We had an argument on this programme yesterday that Ireland's regime in that area is actually quite restrictive.
It's very restrictive, and perhaps unnecessarily so. I mean, the point of, you know, you bring, if people are vulnerable and they come to Ireland, you know, you have a responsibility towards them. But there's also a bigger game at play. You need them to do well, especially if they're going to turn out to be people living here in the longer term. So you need to give them every chance to build their lives back together. You need to allow them to basically just do what everybody else does. If you make somebody deliberately unemployed for several years while you make up your mind whether you want them or not, then you're going to perhaps have problems in integrating them that you could have avoided if you were more humane to begin with. So, you know, there's quite a lot of criticism of direct provision at the moment, not just for the fact that people get tiny amounts of money or aren't allowed to work, which of course is a thing the Supreme Court has looked at, and then something now needs to be done about that, but for the sort of the way in which people are kept. I mean, if you put somebody into a hostel for a weekend, that's a holiday. If you put them into it for years, you know, it's actually a very dismal place and way to live, to raise your children and so on and so forth. And then if you're putting people into something like a direct provision system when they have no opportunity to work and aren't allowed to contribute, that's not really giving the local community the best deal out of it either. You know, I think we benefit hugely from migrants. If you just take a look around Ennis or County Clare, how many people from other countries are working hard and contributing in every way. If you go up to Gort, up the road, you'll see the Brazilian community and the great life they've brought to that town. You know, but then if you think of asylum seekers, they're there and they're not allowed to work year on year. It takes an awful long time for the government to get around to making decisions. And we have a long history of asylum seeker difficulty, even in County Clare. I mean, the book deals with, for example, in the 1950s in Mílik, not Lisheen, just outside Limerick City.
Yeah.
You know, the Hungarians arrived, and they arrived in late 1956. But within a few months, the entire adult population had gone on hunger strike, demanding to be removed from the country because of the petty frustrations that they encountered at that time. They were placed in an old army barracks that is now used again as a reception centre for asylum seekers. And there, a few years ago, there was a bit of a hunger strike again. And this has got to do with the petty frustrations that people experience. It's not a way that you can basically have families living for long periods of time. It's not good for people. It's warehousing people in that particular way. They've done absolutely nothing wrong. And, you know, where the Supreme Court has now said, really, there's an obligation of the state to allow them to work. And in most European countries, people are allowed to work who are asylum seekers after a short period of time. You know, we have workers here on visas. If their visas come to an end, then they must go home. Mm. We have asylum seekers here. You know, they're here. If they get the refugee status, they can stay. If it's turned down for them, maybe they have to go. But why can't they work and contribute to our society while they're here? That would be better for everybody, okay. I would think.
Your thoughts then on what's happening in Listeriavna, where people, not unfairly or not without reason, I would suggest, have raised concerns about the impending opening of the King Thomond Hotel as a reception facility and the impact on the community there.
Now, I think you've had a few debates on the channel on your station The Sarah Clancy, for example, was very good, I think. What I would sort of say about that is that it's difficult for the local community in some respects. It's difficult for the asylum seekers also. Direct provision is a system that doesn't really do asylum seekers an awful lot of good. You know, they're being placed in places like Listeriavna on very low money. You know, their options for day-to-day life are going to be rather poor. You know, surely it would benefit the community if people came in on a better footing. At the same time, you know, asylum seekers and other migrants who come into towns around Ireland can benefit hugely, you know, and communities can benefit from them. I mean, what I've seen basically around the country is that people really open their hearts and their arms to migrants coming in and fold them into the communities, into voluntary associations, into clubs and into all of that life. And they can add a great richness to the local area. Now, again, you see that in places like Gort with migrants from Brazil. So, you know, but the burden is put on the community to do this without perhaps as much help as they could get. And the state could basically do a lot better in supporting asylum seekers in the first instance. So people have to go somewhere. And it's kind of horrible in a sense if people are being told, oh no, you can't come here, we don't want you here. But if basically the concerns of the community are, well, we're not really happy with direct provision as a system, I think the distinction needs to be, you should play the ball and not the man. You should basically make the point without necessarily thinking of the asylum seeker as the problem, but perhaps the system. At the same time, the government have to put them up somewhere. So, you know, it is something that will have to be worked out. So, you know, I just hope basically that everybody rises to the occasion here.
Okay. And I hope
it's a difficult situation. I mean, I have sympathy with everybody on this one, but asylum seekers have to live somewhere or other and handle it properly. They can be a great benefit to the community. But if they're allowed to work, as hopefully they will be soon, and more of them, then they can be a great contribution to the local economy as well, and bring richness to County Clare.
I will argue, though, just finally on this, Brian, that in a local sense, I won't disagree with what you have said, but you spoke of politicians not criticising or getting on board or putting the boot in with regards to immigration during the austerity. You also don't see a political appetite to tackle direct provision in this country.
I think that is a problem. I mean, I think it's one of those situations. Ireland is so broadly welcoming to migrants, to migrant workers coming in. You know, if we think of, you know, the huge number of Poles and people from the new European states who came in after 2004, and nobody batted an eyelid, and they were broadly speaking very welcome, and people just got on with their lives with these people now in their communities, and it's great. But then call somebody a refugee, though, and somehow then the shutters come down. So I think it's the terms in which people are being presented to communities. Okay. If people are being presented as people who can contribute, and, you know, I think people don't worry about it so much. But the thing of it is that it is actually quite difficult to manage the lives of people when you institutionalize them, when you put them into a place like the camp in Nochlisheen or into some other form of institution. They're difficult to run. Nobody is satisfied by the outcome. And there surely must be more humane ways of dealing with people and their needs, and communities as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's no political appetite for dealing with this, but I would perhaps say, basically, it's incumbent on voters and ordinary people to say to their politicians, look, we're not terribly happy with this, you know? If Brian, more did it, that might be a good thing.
Okay. Brian Fanning's new book is Migration and the Making of Ireland. It's published by UCD Press. Brian, from Ennis, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
All the best. Have a lovely day.
Sana, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Brian Fanning there.
Morning Focus, in association with Shannon Airport. Fly Shannon and pack more into your day with up to 38 departures each week to London. Explore more today on shannonairport.ie.